Here's Eric listening in Chicago. Hi, Eric. What's up?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I really encourage people to give to Issues, et cetera, as it's the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the world, I'd say, on the media.
Issues, etc. is listener-supported, and you can support the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the media by making a secure online donation at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
It's a movement. This is global. It's beyond any individual or community. We're sacramental. We're both historical and contemporary. We're mystical and we're material. We're deepening and we're extending. And sacramental is, this is men and women with a deep love for the mysterious work of Jesus in the sacraments and a deep belief in his presence in them that makes them the presence of Jesus, as little as sacraments, for the world.
Pastor Bill Woolsey, an ordained minister in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, and executive director of a church planting network called 5-2. They recently held their Wiki 15 conference down in Houston, Texas. We're going to be trying to answer the question here in the first few minutes of this hour of Issues, Etc. How Lutheran is 5-2's church planting conference? Welcome back to Issues, Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Chris Hull will join us for this half hour, and then Pastor Brian Wolf Miller joins us. We have a regular series going with him every week, responding to evangelical cliches. Today, this one comes in several different versions, but it all comes down to the same thing: feeling that tug of God on your heart. The God's kind of trying to drag you, push you, pull you, lure you in some direction. You feel it deep down inside your heart. We'll deal with that evangelical cliche with Pastor Brian Wolf Miller in about a half hour here on Issues, Etc. Now, you can join us for the next hour with your questions or your comments. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @IssuesETC. Or our beloved on-demand listeners, use the Issues, Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to answer the question, how Lutheran is 5-2's church planting conference? Pastor Chris Hull, he's pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Tumball, Texas, and he's author of a series on Wiki 15 for Steadfast Lutherans. Chris, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Todd, thanks for having me. Good to be back.
First of all, what can confessionally Lutheran pastors and lay people learn from an organization like 5-2?
I'll start with the positive first. That's always the best way to start things. The first thing we can learn is it's amazing how fraternal these guys and gals are. Confessional guys, you open the door, it looks like you've come into an ultimate fighting championship camp. They're in a ring pounding each other, looking for maybe the smallest error to jump on against each other. And the only time we get a break from eating each other alive is when we attack someone else sometimes. But with this group, it was very collegial, or even more than that, it was like all these good friends got back together again for the year. You didn't see a lot of negativity, but it was almost intoxicating, the positivity they had. Positivity, is that a word? Can Wolf Mueller talk about that later, maybe, if that's an actual word? I don't know if it is or not.
No, it's a perfectly good word right out of the dictionary.
Well, there we go. I get those occasionally. But you had that there, and maybe that's something we can learn as well, putting that best construction on things when we get together, and how can we support one another more rather than compete with each other, if that makes sense.
So how would you explain what 5-2 is and what the Wiki conference is all about?
Well, 5-2, the nice part is there's been a lot of articles written about it, and their website's thorough yet confusing. It's nice you're having Wolfie on after this to talk about cliches, because that's almost all 5-2 is just one big cliche. It doesn't really give you the clarity of the gospel. It is the Missouri Synod's attempt at being evangelical. and doing church planting. They're all about church planting. Their motto is, you know, start new to reach new. So, you know, grandma in the Alzheimer's unit, she's out. She's too old. She's not new. It's, you know, get rid of the old stuff, all that liturgy, all these things that are old-fashioned containers that keep people away from the gospel. Get rid of that and start new and get these church plants out there. So don't go with your preconceived notion of what mission looks like or what a church is, but see what that community needs. Like if it's a cigar church community, that was one of the churches that's their cigar church. You go to the cigar shop and have your cigar. And of course, every question is a spiritual question. Therefore, you can do mission and ministry there. Because as your opening quote with Mr. Woolsey was, is we are a sacrament and we are sacramental. So that's it's hard to sum up 5-2 because there's really no clear answer. Who are we? Because I don't think they want to give one. You can put your own twist and definition on it.
So I'm trying to kind of sort it out here. It sounds as though this rejection of anything that's even perceived as status quo, whether it's status quo or not, leads to a very confused or perhaps even a blurry definition of what the church is, what the church is supposed to be doing, what words like sacrament means, what a pastor is, mm-hmm. what lay people are, a profound confusion of the church with Christian vocation, all of those things kind of rolled together.
Oh, and that's the problem. It's almost unclear on purpose because you can't, if you put that definition there and you have a strict definition, then you will offend people. People will be offended by what you preach. And that was the biggest problem, at least so far as I've written about with the opening service and definitely with the presenters, and I'll be posting that this week, the presentations, is they are crossless. There is no preaching of the scandal that is the cross. It's mentioned, it's a footnote, but we all know what happens with footnotes. You never read them. You never focus on them. No one writes a movie or puts all their trust in a book on the footnote. It's just there to make you feel a little better about what you're doing.
So let's talk about the kind of the shape of the conference. There was worship, there were speakers. How would you describe the general message there?
Well, the theme was the start new to reach new. The general message, though, and this is where the problem happens. It's not like you walk in and everyone throws their Book of Concord on a big fire pit and takes out the Bible and does the same and says, we hate Lutheranism. They really think they're being Lutheran. This is our Lutheran heritage, is getting the gospel out there no matter what, taking off the shackles of traditional and getting out there. But here's, and this is, so you can't really get mad at them for being a blatant heretic. It's sad because it's almost like you see little brothers who haven't learned enough yet. And it's almost like your little brother went out with you too young to go hunting. He wasn't taught how to use dad's gun. So instead of shooting something like he's supposed to, he ends up shooting you. And it's a bunch of women and men gathered who haven't studied enough, who haven't researched enough, who haven't been fed enough, and they start preaching. And because of that, they don't know how to preach the cross. They'll put it in there, but you can easily take it out. Their message is typical evangelicalism. It's this equipping you to get out there and bring in more people for Jesus because, well, like President Kishnick used to do, you know, the snapping of the fingers. Every time I snap my finger, someone goes to hell. He wouldn't stop snapping his fingers, though, for some reason, and people would stop going to hell. But it's that mentality, this emergency. We have to get out there. So don't put anything in the way. Just get out there. Start new. Reach out there.
Was there any attempt in any of the presentations at laying a foundation for their direction, for their ideas, their attempts to reach out and start new, based in Scripture and the Lutheran confessions? I mean, that would seem to me the place to kind of begin if you're going to claim to be Lutheran.
Definitely not the Lutheran confessions. That's not there. Scripture is there. And that's the other problem with this. It's not like they're not quoting scripture or even you could say using scripture. This is a bad example, and maybe I'll get in trouble for it. It's almost like when the devil tempted Christ, he just left out a couple little words. You know, he didn't come up with a new scripture. He just left a few things out. For example, we did a preaching workshop on Pentecost, and we did the whole narrative of the Pentecost sermon, except we took out the cross. When Peter accuses everybody of crucifying Christ, that's taken out because, yet again, the cross offends. You can't save yourself. This guy did it for you. He died for you, and he rose for you. You are saved now by what he did, not by what you do. And that just isn't there. It's assumed. It's not even assumed anymore. It's just an afterthought. And we move forward to that sanctification. How do you now live that holy life? And that's the problem. So the Bible's there, but it's definitely not guiding, as we confess in the formula. It's not that deep well from which their teaching and practice is drawn.
Why no mention or reference to the Lutheran confessions from an ostensibly Lutheran church planting organization?
One of the gentlemen, he's a Methodist from Houston. I can't remember his name. You can look up the presenters on the thing. He got up with a bottle of water, and he held it up. You know, a lot of excitement with these presenters, who are very enthusiastic, you know. And he got up with this bottle of water, and he took the label, and he started ripping it off. And he couldn't get it off. So he's like, see, this is the difficulty with labels. It takes a lot to rip it off. But he finally ripped that label off of the water, and he threw it down on the ground really dramatically. And he said, this is what people care about, not if you're a Lutheran or Episcopalian or Methodist or Baptist or Roman Catholic. All they care about, and then he slowly opened the bottle and he drank. He said they care about the content. And I'm just sitting there going, good night. Then tell me the content. Preach the cross, preach the empty tomb, preach baptism, preach the Lord's Supper. Tell me that I'm justified, declare righteous outside of myself and only by Christ alone, and I will believe you about that label thing. But I ain't buying it, Hoss, because you didn't hand me the content. You skipped over it. Because when you preach the content, that label goes on there.
It strikes me that, you know, if I know what a bottle of water looks like generally, I might be pretty safe in drinking one that doesn't have a label on it. But if it's not really the shape of the traditional bottle of water, it might be rubbing alcohol. It might be someone's spit cup, you know, some guy. Who knows what it might be there with no label?
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's what we're getting rid of. You get rid of the labels, you get rid of the container. So I don't know how we'd have water. I guess we're going to make people go to the river and drink. But, you know, get rid of all this stuff because it's withholding the gospel. My summary is this of most of these people. They don't know it, but, well, maybe they do know it and they're going against it. They're more involved with entertaining goats than feeding sheep. Now, that's J.J. Packer. That's not my quote. But that's what it's more about. It's about the lights and the flashing and just feeling really close to Jesus. But, you know, Judas was real close to him, too. So it doesn't mean you can't fall.
Pastor Chris Hull is our guest. We're answering the question, how Lutheran is 5-2's Church Planting Conference? He has authored a series on Wiki 15, their annual conference for Steadfast Lutherans. When we come back, we'll have some more conversation with him. Then Pastor Brian Wolf Miller will join us. We'll be responding to an evangelical cliche, if you feel God tugging on your heart. He's co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio. That's coming up in about another 10 minutes on this Tuesday afternoon. Stay tuned.
This is the day which the Lord has made.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Better is one day in your courts.
Morning Chapel from Cramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Bless and preserve us.
A daily dose of Luther is good for the soul. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a new devotional resource, Day by Day with Martin Luther. You can find out more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 800-325-3040. Day by Day with Martin Luther costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Day by Day with Martin Luther.
Lutheran, it's not a slogan, it's a confession. You're listening to Issues Etc.
You might wonder, is it possible for my child with special needs to receive a rich classical Christian education? Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope answers yes. With the Simply Classical curriculum created by Cheryl and published by Memoria Press, there's no reason to withhold a beautiful education from any struggling student. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
We start new to reach new, and we reposition the ordained leaders into a new perspective for what they should be doing and how they should be leading. What if we shifted them from doer and oppressor to equipper and overseer?
Again, that's Bill Woolsey. He is the executive director of an organization called 5-2, a church planning organization, speaking at last year's Wiki 14 conference. They just held their Wiki 15 conference about a week ago. We're getting a review of it with Pastor Chris Hull, who attended the conference, and he's pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Tumball, Texas, author of a series on Wiki 15 for Steadfast Lutherans. Speaking of cigar churches and kind of fuzzy theological thinking, I have written an article recently responding to a very popular passage with those who want to kind of redefine everything in the church or tear off all the labels, accommodate the culture, and somehow call that reaching people for Christ. Using Paul's words, "I've become all things to all men." The article I wrote for the online Issues Etc. journal asked the question, did Paul mean that we are supposed to accommodate ourselves to the culture, to kind of blend in and fit in with the culture? The short answer is no, but you can read all about it in the latest online Issues Etc. journal. Also, coincidentally, in the Wittenberg Trail feature, an article written called "How Are They to Believe?" by Pastor David Wan, talking about going from Lutheran church to Lutheran church and finding, well, evangelicalism and a lot of other things before he actually found the Lutheran Confessions. You can read all about that as well in the online Issues Etc. journal, absolutely free. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. There's a red button on the right side of the webpage. If you click on it and enter your email address, we will send you absolutely free the Issues Etc. journal. Pastor Hull, I'm a little concerned hearing that quote from Bill Woolsey coming out of the break. I'm a little concerned, not a little, a lot concerned about the attempt to not only redefine church. That seems to be pretty clear here. Church becomes something other than God's people being gathered by Christ around his word and sacraments to hear these things rightly preached and rightly administered according to Christ's institution. It kind of becomes whatever it didn't used to be. But also the pastoral office. Did you get a hint of that at Wiki 15?
Oh, very much so. You, as the pastor, are to equip. They would call it like you're the lead repenter. You're the lead worker. You're the example. And, man, that would be terrible if that was where our comfort was for salvation, because none of my parishioners would be saved. They would all go to the bottom pit of hell if I was to save them by my example. Now, does that mean I can just run and do whatever I want because, oh, it's only the word that matters? Well, no, because I am baptized. How can I preach and then punch to the wind, as St. Paul said? But Paul's boxing and running didn't save people. What he handed over to them did, and that is Christ. The holy absolution is what saves them. I thought of this when they were talking about this. I said, "It's we see our parishioners and the center in two different ways. I see them as my son is dangling from a 90-story building, and I go over and grab him and pick him up. And that's Christ pulling us out of the ditch, bringing us out by means of his death and resurrection. And we, the pastors, are given to hand over that gift. And that's what we do. We save people by means of the word. Whereas they see it as I should have gone to my son dangling over the 90-story building, gotten down there with him hanging, and then said, okay, son, now pull up really hard. And if you can put your knee here and then put your foot here and get up, you'll be okay. Have fun. And then go over to the next person dangling and show him it again. And then he falls and he dies. And that's what happens. You don't save people by example. You save them because Jesus died for them, rose for them, and now you baptize them, you commune them. But it's boring. It's boring to do that. It's boring to commune old ladies in the nursing home. And, you know, it's boring to do Bible study. It's boring to do these things. It's not exotic. And this is the big thing. They kept talking about authenticity. What's authentic? And there's nothing authentic about these guys. They shop at the same store, probably like the Gap or American Eagle or somewhere where I can't afford to shop. And they preach the same thing, but none of it is the cross. That's the only authentic thing. Everywhere else, you try to save yourself. Here, Christ saves you. How more authentic can he get than that?
Did you hear anything, Pastor Hull, at the Wiki 15 conference that you couldn't have heard at kind of the average big box church in evangelicalism when they have their conference on church planting?
Oh, no, it's the same thing. And why is because the majority of the speakers aren't Lutheran, or if they are Lutheran, I don't think they've seen their Book of Concord for about 20 years. And this is the problem I'm having. I really don't want this. I really wish we could all just sit in a room and study and all be of one accord with each other. I pray for that every single day. Because when someone walks into Zion Lutheran in Tomball and then goes to one of these 5-2 churches, and let's say they are church shopping or whatever, why on earth would they ever believe we confess the same thing when we're not? We practice differently. We preach differently. And all we're doing is killing sheep in the process. It's not helping anybody. And no, there's no difference between what I heard there and what you would hear at an evangelical one. It's all social gospel, which is a good thing as long as it flows from the true gospel, what our Lord Christ has done for us.
So how do you explain, or how do you attempt to understand the kind of marginal support that a group like 5-2 continues to enjoy from at least segments of officialdom in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, from pastors who attend and all of that? You know, it's not like these pastors and church leaders don't know what Lutherans are supposed to believe.
I tell you, you either have to say a person knows what they're doing or they're ignorant of what they're doing, and both statements will offend people. They'll be offended by both. And the common person that goes along with 5-2, I say, well, you're ignorant. You need to learn more and let's grow. However, the district president or the Senate official, you know better. You know what you're doing. This is not Lutheran. This isn't the gospel. That was the big point I made at the end of the worship. I never got the forgiveness of my sins. I never got it. I never received it. I never heard it. It was an afterthought. It was assumed. Why on earth would I ever give a dime to that? Why would I ever support that or encourage it? I want to help them. I want to bring them into the truth, as Paul says we should do in Galatians 6:1, to bring them back. But the guys who are sitting there writing the check saying, no, keep going, keep going, keep going. Goodness gracious. Why are they not brought up? Why are we not saying what you preach is falsehood? We need a little more St. Nicholas and a little less Melanchthon. But we're not going to get that anytime soon.
As far as you can discern here with a couple minutes left to us, where is 5-2 headed?
They are growing. I mean, they have goals, you know, a lot more startups, a lot more baptisms. They even had reaffirmations, which, if I recall growing up, meant you were rebaptized. They want more of these things and to grow because they are getting the gospel out there. And guys like me are the old dinosaurs just trying to survive. And it's going to continue. And here's the reason why. The confessions are not emphasized. It's not happening. And it needs to happen. Good pastors have to come out, and district presidents have to support good pastors. If that doesn't happen, then we're going to watch this continue to grow and good men be butchered. I'm a little done with it. I'm tired of it. And I pray that we have leaders who are tired of it as well, because we need to be concerned about feeding the sheep in order to defend them against the snares and wickedness of the devil and to comfort them when their conscience is terrified.
Pastor Chris Hull is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Tomball, Texas. He's author of a series on Wiki 15 for Steadfast Lutherans. We'll post a link to this series at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. We're going to be talking with him about an evangelical cliche you may have heard, or you may have even uttered yourself, that God is tugging at your heart. Stay tuned. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Yes, there is a Messiah in Seattle. Messiah Lutheran Church and Concordia Lutheran School have served North Seattle for over 60 years, and we invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 8 and 10:45 with Bible study at 9:20. Messiah Seattle is proud to support Issues Etc. To learn more, watch our adult information class videos online or on DVD. Our website is messiahseattle.org, 206-524-0024.
The message is the mission. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship. lcms.org/stewardship.